Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. It's hour two. We are live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Trent Dilfer in 15 minutes. Mark Schlereth stops by today. Bruce Gradkowski, Pro Football Focus, end of this hour, former Tampa Bay Buck quarterback, and Joy Taylor is joining me. We knew October was going to be great. It has been. Tonight we have unbelievable. So after our show today, Kansas City plays Buffalo, an incredibly difficult game for me to get my arms around because they both lost. They're both excellent. Could be top two or three teams in the AFC. They both played poorly last week. And so they play on Fox later today at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern. Then tonight we get Dallas, Arizona.
I love these Monday night doubleheaders.
So do I. They're like the first one of the year, it's always they put average teams. Like these are like moved games.
Well, yes, they're rescheduled, so that's why they're so great back-to-back. But, yeah, it's going to be another good night of football.
It is. So let's do calling right, calling wrong. Plenty of both every week. We call ourselves out and we're wrong. Let's go.
Where Colin was right.
Well, we said all offseason, Tampa was going to be a work in progress offensively, but their defense would carry the team in September and October. It's exactly what's happening. This morning, it's the number one ranked defense in the NFL. And I said their secondary is what everybody views as a weakness, but it's getting better and it's really athletic. And yesterday stole the show. Todd Bowles said this in the offseason, is the best coordinator in the league. He will get a second head coaching job. This was a masterpiece yesterday. They got, and it's so interesting because the knock on him all year, the secondary's a problem. And then they went out and drafted a great safety. They are exactly what we thought they looked like. We thought they'd be a Super Bowl contender with a dominating defense, and we said at Thanksgiving, then the offense is going to pick up and they're going to be rolling.
Where Colin was wrong.
Blazing five better, should have had a winning week, 2-3. Niners, we were right, we called it. We said they would upset the Rams, and we said the Steelers would blow out the Browns. By the way, Baltimore, we were right for 3 hours. That hurts more than any loss this year, but we're 12-17-1 on the year, got to be better.
Where Colin was right.
I've said Bill Belichick is the best coach, football coach in my life, but I've been on this for years. He cannot draft a wide receiver. They are atrocious. Yesterday, their receivers had a combined 6 catches. You cannot blame Cam for all of this. N'Keal Harry appears to be a bust. They are easily the slowest wide receiver tight end group and the least talented in the NFL. And this is one of the things that Brady would privately tell people. Like, we just can't solve this riddle. Every great coach has a blind spot. How much faster and more athletic did Denver look yesterday? I mean, Drew Locke was moving the ball up and down the field. May have settled for field goals, but Denver, I'm not sure there's a Patriot offensively at a skill position. No, I know this for sure. None could start for Denver. None.
Where Colin was wrong.
I've been very pro Lamar Jackson. I said I thought this year he would grow to another level. He has hit a wall. Teams are now begging him to throw the football. He's averaging 189 yards throwing. He is really struggling. He's gotten into this sidearm thing. He's gotten sloppy. He bails a little too fast in the pocket. He's now rolling too deep and too often too far right, which totally limits what he can do. All his numbers are down. Completion percentage, rushing yards, touchdown passes, passer rating. It's like he needs a reboot camp, but he is struggling, and teams are begging him to throw the football. And yesterday, they were having 3-and-out, fast drives, giving it right back to Philadelphia. He has hit a wall. People are begging him to throw.
Where Colin was right.
Everybody fell in love with Sean McVay. Oh, my God, couple of years. Best coach ever. And I said, Kyle Shanahan's the better football coach. McVay's very good. Kyle Shanahan last night is now 4-0 against Sean McVay with Jimmy Garoppolo. 4-0. When they both have their starting quarterbacks, McVay can't beat him. And he controlled the clock. He controlled the game. He controlled the tempo. He controlled the line of scrimmage. This was a coaching clinic last night. And I think McVay is a very good coach. I think Shanahan is in a class by himself. I mean, you literally came off a horrible loss. Your quarterback's not at 100%. And Rams are a good team. And Aaron Donald was taken out of the game. Completely taken out of the game. I think Shanahan's the best young coach in football. McVay's just very, very good.
Where Colin was wrong.
My number one miss in the NFL, the Steelers. Oh, good hell. I said 8-8. In fact, I upgraded them to 8-8. They are terrorizing quarterbacks. Their pass rush, watch out. Wide receiver, that Minka Fitzpatrick move last year, how great is he? What an addition that guy is. What a playmaker. Claypool, he's Calvin Johnson. I mean, he is so big and strong. I undervalued the Steelers. They lead the NFL in sacks, which is remarkable because they've played one fewer game than many teams. They are everything. Big Ben's making no mistakes this year. And that's always been, you know, I said going into the season, I had real doubts about Big Ben. He's never been a worker in the offseason. He's been terrific. He's cut down his mistakes. He still throws one of the best deep balls of my life. He throws a beautiful deep ball. I was totally wrong on the Steelers.
Where Colin was right?
Carson Wentz is not the problem. Stop. He is not the issue. Carson Wentz yesterday lost and was fantastic. He is throwing to backups, backups. He took a beating for 3.5 hours. He got sacked 6 times. I mean, look at him. He's just throwing off his back foot. He's throwing stuff. I mean, he has nothing to work with, and he is throwing darts. He is seeing the field. To get hit as often as he does and to sit in there and to take a beating like that, if you don't appreciate Carson Wentz, I can't help you. They scored 22 points in the fourth quarter with Travis Fulgham and Carson Wentz. 22 points against Baltimore.
Where Colin was wrong.
I don't even know what to say about Ryan Tannehill. I don't even know what to say. He's good. The last 2 weeks, he scored 42 points. Last 2 weeks, 13 TDs, 2 picks. 70% completion rate. He had a losing record in Miami. And I never, like Joyce said, I didn't hate him. It was just like, he's a guy. He's kind of a guy. Is it coaching? Ryan Tannehill is, and they're letting him throw now. Tennessee is loosening it up, and they're letting him throw the ball downfield. And they haven't always had all their receivers healthy yet. Now, I know Derrick Henry's terrific, but, I mean, I would not have guessed this ever. In fact, I cannot think of a single quarterback in my life that I thought was just a guy, changed teams, and I'm like, he's a Pro Bowler today. Ryan Tannehill today is a Pro Bowler. I'm not sure the Titans are the best team in the NFL. They're in a short list of best teams in the NFL.
Where Colin was right?
We're always arguing, got to have an 8-team playoff in college football. Oh, God, we need two. Did you watch Clemson and Alabama play? They're so far ahead of everybody not named Ohio State, it's not even close. I mean, Georgia couldn't compete in the second half. Listen, there's never been a single time in my life where I thought, you know what? The 7th team in the country really deserves a chance to play for the national championship. So Notre Dame was ranked 4th. I watched them this weekend. They're not close. Carolina was ranked 5th. They're not close. We don't need more teams in the playoff. I'd argue this. Usually there's two absolute teams we know that are best, Alabama, Clemson, and then there's a third team, and I think it'll be Ohio State this year, which has 4 or 5 first-round picks, and we think can play with them. But this, I've been saying this for years, the idea that you need, everybody wants an 8-team playoff, and then we want a 16-team playoff. Folks, it's like March Madness. We end up with 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds every year. We don't need more teams. The teams now that are at the top are miles better than the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th ranked teams.
Where Colin was right.
I'm not a baseball maven. I don't watch regular season baseball much, but I said back in July, the Dodgers are about a closer away from being a perfect baseball team. They led the baseball in home runs. They led by a large gap. They led in runs. They led in ERA. They led in whip. If they had a closer, it would be over. This is a stacked batting order. Andrew Friedman, the general manager, came from Tampa where he had a good team but no budget. Then the Dodgers gave him a budget, and they have used it brilliantly. They didn't want to pay for Greinke. They didn't want to play for Manny Machado. They didn't want to pay for Bryce Harper. They decided finally to spend big boy money, and they went out and got Mookie Betts. Oh, my God. He's unbelievable. This is a stacked baseball team. Now, they are not good in the pen, and that could be their undoing against the Rays. But you don't have to be a diehard baseball fan. They are just dudes. 1 through 7 in that batting order are just professional baseball hitters. Great stuff. Calling right, calling wrong. The other thing about the Bucks, Tampa Bay, and Todd Bowles, who is unbelievable, is that they're doing this without Vita Vea, who was their best run-stopping defensive lineman. So the minute that game was over, Tampa went and called Joe Douglas, the Jets DM, and they got GM, and they went and got a defensive lineman, McClendon, from the Jets, who's one of their team captains. So Tampa Bay, and this is why you have a trading deadline. This is why you can make trades. Tampa says, we're not quite good enough stopping the run. We want to be better. They call the Jets up. Jets want draft picks. Jets and Jacksonville in a complete, utter rebuild. Nothing works. Nothing works for either team. A little Gardner Minshew, a little offense. Their running back for Jacksonville's good. But that's why you have trades in midseason till about week 7, week 8. So the Bucs defense should be getting better. And he's also a team captain, guys. A real formidable grown-up into the room. Trent Dilfer joins me coming up next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tomorrow night, it's game one of the World Series as the Rays take on Mookie Betts and the Dodgers. After a pair of wild 7-game championship series, both teams have their sights set on the Fall Classic. Tomorrow at 7:30 Eastern, only on Fox.
It'll be good.
Can you believe in the World Series this year? That's wild, right?
We feel very lucky that we live in Los Angeles, where our teams are good. Almost all of them are really, really good. You get these little bubbles. Boston had one a few years ago where everything's winning. Atlanta's a very good baseball team. I mean, Atlanta was all into that thing. I thought halfway through it, I'm like, Braves are going to win this thing. Trent Dilfer, 15 years in the NFL, a Super Bowl and a Pro Bowl. Joining us now, his Lipscomb Academy. He's the head coach. 41-0 on Friday. He just told me they had 19 different sets on the game for high school. I think we had a one back, two back, and that was it. And I was a really bad quarterback. And he is joining us. So today is one of these days. Aaron looks bad, and I'm a bully, and I beat up on him. But I did say this. Aaron's really talented. First ballot Hall of Famer. I like him more than Favre, who's great. But I see a trend now. He has now got a losing record if he trails at any point in a football game. And the NFL is defined. Russell Wilson, Mahomes, Brady, Manning. You trail a lot in this league. Come on, Trent. This whole league is about overcoming. Brady's defined by the Atlanta-Seattle Super Bowls where they were getting gashed late in the game. And I look at Rodgers' winning percentage when he trails. And I said, I'm not doubting the talent. But a lot of guys are not foxhole guys. They're just gifted guys. And is that a fair criticism of Aaron?
I'm struggling with this one. I watched your open earlier today. It's hard to argue with the numbers. So I'm not going to argue that when he's trailing, he should have a better record. I've played enough golf with Aaron. I've been around him enough. I've studied him enough. He's a fierce competitor. He's not one of those guys who's going to lay down because he's two down after 13, already 6 points down at half. There's something else going on here with that record. I mean, this is one of the fiercest competitors of all time. You go back to his time at Cal with Jeff Tedford. I mean, he was legendary for his competitive temperament in the weight room, in practice. Very much like Tom Brady, demanding the best from people on a day-to-day basis and in-game. So I get the body language gets funky sometimes when he's frustrated. Hard to argue with the numbers. But I'm not going to be one that questions his competitive temperament when he's down, because I've seen it too often, and I've seen it throughout his football career at times too, where he single-handedly brings his team back. So this is a tough one for me.
You know, both you and I agreed. You'd been in Tampa. I covered it. I said, listen, New England is details, academics. That's Boston. Prep schools, intense, competitive. That's the region. Tampa Bay is a little loose and Ybor City and fun. To go from 11 penalties to none after a butt-chewing on television, I kind of felt like something had to give. Tom was, hey, listen, this is how you win. And Tampa's like, hey, we're doing fine here. I wonder what practice was like this week. I don't think I've ever seen a team go from that undisciplined to that disciplined. They didn't give up a sack in 9 days. What do you make of what they did at practice?
Yeah, no sacks, no turnovers, no penalties. It's amazing the influence that Tom Brady can have on your organization. I don't think it's hyperbole to say that this is a man that can carry not just a franchise, but a city. You just said it as you're leading into me. You're talking about there's cities that have these little pockets of success. Look at Tampa Bay right now since Tom Brady showed up. All right, the Lightning win the Stanley Cup. The Devil Rays are in the World Series, and Tampa's playing some of the best defense in all football and cleaning up their offensive mess. I mean, this guy is incredible with the edge he brings a community, the work ethic, the focus. Just everything about his aura makes everybody around him better. And I guarantee practice was intense. I mean, it was the hair on your arm standing up. Every little thing mattered. The way you do small things, the way you do all things. I'm sure they heard that a bunch from Tom Brady. And there's just that accountability. I was reading something the other day. John Gordon wrote that great teams don't have rules. They have internal accountability through players. And when you have that moral authority in the locker room and the ultimate leader in Tom Brady, you're going to fix your flaws. You're going to have mistakes. You're going to have stinkers, as Aaron called them the other day. But they're not going to last for long. I mean, look at Tom Brady's record in his career after a loss. So you can go back and look at – just imagine what those weeks of practice are like coming off a loss when Tom Brady's your quarterback.
You know, quarterbacks can lose, and I can be blown away. I thought Carson Wentz yesterday was sensational, working with nothing. The kid is nothing but guts and valor and fight, and I love it. Mm-hmm. Here's the disturbing thing with Baker. It's not that he's losing, but – Trent, he looks overwhelmed with pressure. Like he looks like a backup. He looks like he's just not physically, the game gets too fast. He can't escape. He can't cognitively make really quick decisions. And it's like happening now. I mean, good God, three head coaches. He's got barely more touchdowns than picks. And I think we'd both agree, these are pretty darn good weapons in Cleveland. He's got some help here. I'm watching yesterday and I'm like, this GM has to watch this and think, I'm in a division with Burrow, Big Ben, and Lamar. I got to play those guys six times a year. I got to wonder if Cleveland inside the building has got concerns about Baker going forward. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think a lot of people that weren't as high on Baker coming out are starting to see some of their evaluation stuff come to light. And one of the biggest ones that I had and other guys I talked to that weren't as high on him was a lack of physical confidence in the pocket. Now, let me explain that. Typically, guys that are – let's use Ben Roethlisberger as the opposite because they played each other, of Baker Mayfield. Ben never rushes anything. There's never a flinch. There's never a hurry. There's never a panic because he has such physical confidence in his stature. He has confidence that he can manipulate in there, that if a guy has an arm on him or a hand goes up or he gets swiped or somebody around his legs – he's confident enough to keep the play alive, keep his eyes downfield, continue to work the play. When you looked at Baker in college, when he was on rhythm, he was fantastic, okay? But then you saw all these splash plays where everybody said he was going to be this great athlete in the NFL. Well, a lot of those splash plays came because he didn't have the physical confidence, even in the Big 12, to stay where he was at and work the play. He felt like he needed to get out and work the play somewhere else. This continues to get him in trouble. Now what's happening is he's being harped on to stay in the pocket. He's rushing things. I mean, the pick six is literally a high school mistake. If my quarterback threw it to one robber on an in-breaking route, I'd lose my mind. That typically happens because you're speeding up your clock because you don't have the physical confidence to just let the play breathe. You feel like you got to catch, throw. You don't have the confidence to just go, I'm going to let this thing breathe a little bit. They switch the look on me. I'm going to go back outside to Odell, who, by the way, on his slant is going to go for about 50 if Baker goes to number two instead of a pick six. So you're starting to see some of the stuff that we were worried about coming out with Baker start to really bite him in the you-know-what. It can be fixed. I will say this. I'm not moving off of Baker. I think he can be a fantastic rhythm quarterback in the NFL if he's willing to learn these things, grow his physical confidence, and the system supports the type of player he needs to be.
So explain the Jimmy G thing to me. Like, I got last week, I was pretty harsh on him, and everybody said, bad ankle. Collinsworth showed it last night. Like, he wasn't throwing with confidence. They took him out. So last night, it was better. It still wasn't perfect. But here's what I wonder. Boy, I think they have some interesting weapons on the outside. And those guys are running a lot of routes and not getting a lot of looks. He feels Jimmy G feels very controlled by me. And I look at their schedule, I'm like, you got to let – I mean, even Tennessee's letting Tannehill breathe a little bit here. You got to let these guys play. Does Garoppolo feel too controlled? Even though he won last night and the numbers are great, stats, does he feel too controlled when you watch?
I like the control. I liked how Kyle called the game. The ball is out of his hand less than 2.5. I'm looking forward to seeing the PFF numbers come out today with actually his time to throw. It seemed like it was lightning fast. I think he needed to be controlled while he's banged up. I think early in the season, it's not bad to call plays in a controlling fashion to mitigate risk. I do think what's coming, probably in the second half of the season, knowing Kyle and studying his play calling forever, is you'll start seeing the boot pull-ups, throwbacks, the 30, 40-yard, you know, the ball in the air 30, 40 yards down the field to these fantastic weapons you're talking about. But I think there's a sequencing of play calling throughout a season. I think Kyle's been around this league a long time, knows you want to play your best football after Thanksgiving. So he's saving some bullets, waiting for Jimmy G to get healthy. Setting up that run game, setting up that action game would be my guess. I haven't talked to Kyle, but be my guess. He's got 4 to 6 shots. He's practicing every week. He's not calling them in the game. He's getting them ready for the back half of the season. And don't be surprised. Teams start playing downhill a little bit on this quick passing game. And later on in the year, you're watching these fantastic weapons do some double moves, work the post game, work the deep corner game. A lot of this stuff that's part of his playbook that will eventually come out.
By the way, when I covered you in Tampa, I'll be kind. You didn't have much to work with, and I'm being kind. I want you to take people into how hard it is to do what Carson Wentz is doing. Like, he's dealing with backups to backups. And, I covered you. People don't understand. It's hard with starters. The timing is off. I watched him yesterday in the fourth quarter, and I'm like, people just don't get this. They don't understand how hard. Harbaugh's a great coach. These are great schemes. I watch Wentz and I'm like, I may have been more impressed with him than anybody yesterday in the entire league. How hard is it when you're using backups?
Well, first of all, some of my teammates probably watching this. I wasn't very good either. I was probably the biggest problem. So I'm not putting the blame on our guys, but You feel like you have to earn every single inch. Nothing extra happens for you. You don't play beyond the X's and O's. Where a lot of guys, they throw a little inside look route and the guy goes for 60. And you're like, all the quarterback did was throw it 5 yards to an open guy and he gets 60 and a tut on his stat line. When you're playing with guys that are new, that haven't gotten a lot of the reps, you tend to, run a 12-yard route and get probably 12. You don't get 22. It's fatiguing. It takes a toll on your body when you're doing what Carson's doing. I went through a stage that way where you're always running around. You're always shedding tacklers. You're getting hit after every throw. You're landing on the ground. It becomes mentally and physically fatiguing. But I also think it develops incredible grit. I think it develops championship grit. I believe Carson Wentz will win a Super Bowl one day. I don't know if it's with the Eagles, but he will take his team all the way. It'll be him because of his grit, his determination. The things he's learning early in his career, going through adversity, not ducking in a hole, not making excuses when things go bad. That's how champions are built, and I think Carson Wentz is a champion.
Trent Dilfer, Lipscomb Academy head football coach, Nashville, Tennessee, a beautiful town, won 41-0 Friday. They had 19 different, sets?
Yep. At some point, you're going to start talking about the Titans, okay? Next week, I'm going to send you topics. We got to start talking about the Titans here in town because they are ridiculous.
They are.
Tannehill's playing MVP football.
Incredible. I mean, it's I said, I don't, in my life, I've never watched a quarterback and I was like, he's okay, he's fine. And it's like, oh, wait, MVP votes? I've never seen this in my life. It's incredible, right? Like, yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what it makes me think. This Adam Gase guy is going to be, that's what it tells me, right?
That and Mike Vrabel. I do think at some point people got to start putting Mike in the best coaches in the world category. I mean, as a coach, you study the best. I study Mike all the time. He's here in town, and I'll put on Titans film and just see how he managed the game, see situationally what they're doing special teams, what they're doing defensively, how we hired offensive coordinator, how they fixed Tannehill. I mean, Mike Vrabel is as good a football coach as there is.
Yeah. Trent Dilfer, good seeing you, buddy.
Thanks, brother.
All right. Check engine light comes on. Don't freak out. CarShield.com. Put in the code HERD. Get 10% off. CarShield.com. A warranty for when yours runs out. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the HERD Line News.
The Ravens are 5-1. But they don't really feel like 5-1.
Well, the Bears are 5-1. They feel more 1-5.
Yeah.
Who can figure the Bears out?
We'll get to them in just a second. But Baltimore got out to an early lead yesterday over the Eagles, up 17-0 at halftime. But they struggled to hold on to it in the second half. The Eagles scored 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter to pull within 2, but failed on a 2-point conversion. And the Ravens held on to win 30-28. Their biggest lead of the game was 18 points at the end of the third quarter. And the Eagles scored, obviously, all their points in the second half. Lamar Jackson, 186 yards, 16-17, and 1 touchdown. He also had 9 carries for 108 yards. That was a rushing touchdown. The Ravens also committed 12 penalties.
Yeah, they're really,
the most this season,
they're really loose. Lamar is just a little loose. Their offense isn't in sync. Listen, I thought coming into the season, watch out. This morning, Pittsburgh, give them credit. Mike Tomlin, they feel so buttoned up. Baltimore feels talented, but everything's a little loose.
I think probably unfairly we're comparing Lamar Jackson to Patrick Mahomes and the development and step up. And also, I mean, we're comparing Lamar Jackson against himself because his first year, he took a major step up, obviously, in his second year. And we're expecting him to take that much of a more dramatic step up this year. It's not that the Ravens are a bad team. They're obviously not. They just don't feel like I can trust this team during the regular season. I don't know if I can trust them in a big moment in the playoffs the way that they're playing right now.
Yeah, no,
and that's what the expectations are for this team.
Yeah, and also, let's be honest, Joy. The AFC looks a lot better. First of all, Kansas City's still good. Buffalo's now real good. Miami looks like a playoff team. Tennessee is scary. Pittsburgh's for real. We bail on Cleveland, but they can play. So Denver looked great yesterday. When Cam and New England get, you know, practices in, they could be 90% of last year, and the AFC, to me, at the top, looks way better than it did a year ago.
Yeah, that's not going to be enough. Nope. Not in the playoffs.
I mean, the Colts right now have the second, third best defense in the league, don't feel like a playoff team to me in the AFC.
Well, they don't feel like they can.
No juice.
There's no juice, and they don't feel like they're a big moment team.
Right.
So speaking of the Steelers, they kept their undefeated season alive with a huge 38-7 win over the Browns. Definitely thought this was going to be a little more competitive than it was. This is the second time in franchise history the Steelers have started 5-0, and the first time since 1978. The defense completely shut down Baker Mayfield, sacked him 4 times, and intercepted him twice. They've scored at least 26 points in all 5 games this season, so it's not all defense. Last season, they scored 26 or more points in just 4 games, but in all fairness, they did not have Ben Roethlisberger last season.
Boy, this kid, this Claypool kid.
Impressive.
It's so nice when you can throw a 9-yard slant to somebody and they're like, I'm going to score a touchdown. Like, they have, that kid is just a, those Steelers once again found a Hall of Fame level talent at wide receiver again.
It's their thing. This was the Steelers' first win over a team with a winning record this season.
Yep.
They are obviously up top the AFC North, 5-0, Ravens 5-1, Browns now 4-2, and the Bengals 1-4-1. But they did lose Devin Bush for the season.
Not great.
Not great. It's a big loss for them.
Yes.
He played every defensive snap until the injury is torn ACL, so he's gone for the season. Their next game is at the Titans, which will be a battle of the undefeated. Really looking forward to that. Then they have at the Ravens and at the Cowboys.
Oh, my God.
So now things start to get a little more intense.
So they play Tennessee next.
Yes.
Oh, that's one of the games of the year.
Yes. And who would have predicted that at the beginning of the season?
Wow.
Gotta love it. Finally, you mentioned the Bears earlier. They're 5-1, sitting atop the NFC North. I don't know.
All the Vegas guys loved the Bears this weekend, and I just couldn't go there. Like, that was a wise guy pick, and I'm like, oh, boy. But you know what? Carolina had been playing very well. They shut them down.
They haven't been dominant on their road to the top of the division, obviously, but Nick Foles likes what he sees so far and is fired up about what the team can do this season.
Would you rather lose pretty or win ugly? I think that we'd rather win ugly. Are we where we want to be? No, we're not where we want to be. But I'm excited about our offense. I'm excited about the guys that are there. I like the communication that's happening on the sideline. I love the passion of the players. Most important, they care, and we're bonding. We're getting to know each other. That's football. Like, you don't just go out there and play football. You got to care about the man next to you to make those plays.
God, I love that. He's funny. They miss Tariq Cohen a little bit. They're a team. I love the coach. I love the defense. When Tariq Cohen got hurt, they just gave him that contract. It's like they need his juice. They just need a piece. It's so labor intensive. It's so hard.
But to his point, they're winning. Like, what do they care?
They lead their division today.
Yes. What do they care? I mean, they beat the Bucks. I mean, just stomped Packers last night.
No.
So, I mean, you can't really be mad about where you are if you're Chicago. Like, to his point, like, we want it to be this spectacular Chiefs and Ravens, and that's just not how they are, how they're built. But if you win at the end of the day, who cares?
Yeah.
And Matt Nagy looks like he made the right move.
Yeah. Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line.
It's so funny,
news.
Joy, because they won ugly with Trubisky. They literally should do billboards in Chicago. We win ugly. It's been like 3 years now. All their wins are just, you come out, you drive home, and you're like, in Chicago, are we any good? Are we really any good? I'm not sure. Well, you're 5-1. That's good. Coming up next, Bruce Gradkowski, Pro Football Focus. They released their numbers on Monday after the grading, who's good, who's bad, who's overvalued, undervalued. This is good stuff. Coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Bruce Gradkowski played in the NFL for 11 years. And he, former Tampa Bay Buccaneer, by the way, Browns, Raiders, Bengals, Steelers, he's been around. He is now joining us live. He is Pro Football Focus senior analyst. He does a great job. Okay, a couple things. Trent Dilfer just gave me garbage for this. Ryan Tannehill, explain him. Why is he so good now? Explain Ryan Tannehill to me.
Confidence. And I appreciate the intro, Colin. You know, I tricked him for 11 years. Not sure how I did that, but... I think, you know, I look at Tannehill and it's confidence. Mike Vrabel played the game. He understands how to relate to his players. And that offense, I think Smith offense coordinator is doing a tremendous job. And you have that beast behind you. Just hand him the ball and watch what he does. But I think overall with Tannehill, we thought after last year he couldn't replicate this again. But he's playing efficient. He's making plays downfield. But the biggest thing, and same thing, John Gruden gets mad for Derek Carr. Use your legs to run for first downs, and Tannehill does that really well. The thing I would like Tannehill to get better at is sometimes the sacks and getting sacked and those fumbles that come with that. But I'll tell you what, that's the main thing is the confidence that Tannehill is playing with right now.
And he's always been a good athlete. He was a wide receiver initially at Texas A&M. Aaron Rodgers has a weird stat. He literally has a losing record in the NFL if he trails at any point in a football game. That makes no sense to me. Derek Carr's got more come-from-behind wins. Matt Ryan does. Matt Stafford does. I think Andy Dalton may. What do you make of Rodgers struggling, getting blown out 19 times in his career? Is he a little bit of a Baylor?
You know, Colin, I'm a huge fan of Rodgers, and I think, you know, we can look at the numbers and see what that is, but I look at this year and how he's playing and how he's played over his career. You know, and he's doing a phenomenal job so far this year. 17 big-time throws on the year, 3 turnover-worthy plays, and all his turnover-worthy plays came yesterday. So it was a sloppy game. He was holding the ball longer than he has all season. You could tell he's a little confused out there, and just the rush was getting him. But the Packers didn't do a good job protecting him. Too many miscommunications up front, not strong pickups by the running backs. There's pressure around Rodgers. He was not in the rhythm that we have seen him in the first, you know, 5 weeks of the season, not counting their bye, of course. Last week, he was pretty clean during that week. But I don't count him out, but let's see how he responds because he's still playing really well this year.
You played with Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton and the Cowboys play in about 6-7 hours from now. I don't think he's Dak, but I think when you give him weapons, this offense looks a lot like the Cincinnati offense the first couple of years he was in the league where he was a distributor. What does he do well? What do you expect for Dalton and the Cowboys starting tonight, him as the starter?
I agree with you, Colin. He's not Dak. I mean, Dak is more athletic and can make plays with his feet more. But, hey, give Andy credit. He can still extend plays. And you think back in 2015, Andy Dalton's best year, he had the number two receiving core by our PFF data. And now he has the number three receiving core by our PFF data. You know, and since he had Mohamed Sanu, A.J. Green, Marvin Jones, and now look at the weapons he has. So if things are right around him, Andy Dalton can execute this offense just as well, if not better. He's going to get the ball out of his hands quick and on time. He can anticipate. That will help this depleted offensive line. So, man, I think the Cowboys right now are the best team in that division. So I'm excited to watch how Andy performs.
Pro Football Focus senior analyst, 11 years in the NFL, Bruce Gadkowski. Your numbers come out on Monday. So you look at Lamar Jackson, it's not the same. It just doesn't. It's not quite as dynamic. Are the PFF grades for the Ravens' offensive line as good? What are the grades for the wide receiving? Lamar's not growing like he did the leap he took year one to year two. What is it? What is happening beyond Lamar for the struggles?
Well, if you talk about him hitting his ceiling, man, you know, and already having an MVP under his belt is pretty sweet. But it is, like you pointed out, it's everything around him. Lamar Jackson continues to have to do his job. Every week I see him throwing amazing big-time throws, making plays with his legs. It's not always perfect. He's a young quarterback, and sometimes with young quarterbacks, you tend to see too much. How can you shrink that and play more decisive and more in rhythm and on time and get through your progressions and let those big-time plays come to you? I think Lamar Jackson is phenomenal, not just on the field, but I'm more impressed off the field how he is a leader, as a leader in that locker room, in that huddle. So I think the guys around him have to step up as well. I think Baltimore, they do a great job blitzing and put pressure on the quarterback and everything like that. But it is a team game, and I expect the Ravens to continue to improve. This is still a tough team.
So Pittsburgh and Baltimore have the top-rated defenses in the NFL. Aaron was unraveled yesterday. Baker was unraveled yesterday. When you look at all your PFF grades around the NFL, this is the time of the year, Bruce, where defense elevates, the weather gets worse, offenses come down. I'm watching the Steelers and the Bucks yesterday really take quarterbacks apart. Quarterbacks are lost. Is this kind of what we'll expect going forward from the league?
Well, I think it kind of has evened out a little bit right now. I think offenses have exploded on the scenes. But right now, what I was just talking about with young quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield, for instance, against that Steeler defense, all you have to do is mix up coverages a little bit. He gets fooled by the one robber. Minkah Fitzpatrick comes down, a pick six. You know, maybe take your one-on-one up top to Jarvis Landry or your outside slant to OBJ. And this is what I'm talking about, young quarterbacks seeing too much. Just do what you're coached to do. And I think that's a big time for Stefanski now to step up his game. It's going to be like Kyle Shanahan in San Fran, what McVay does with the Rams. You have to call the right plays for your quarterback and make it easier on him. Baker Mayfield, if you call play and he knows where he's going and he has to throw that comeback, he will rip that comeback. But if you have to expect him to read defenses and inverts and what the coverage is after post-snap and things like that, you know, try to simplify it. You know, give him progressions. He can play more decisive and fast. And that's more important than almost playing right, Colin, is play decisive. Trust yourself. Same thing we're talking about with the confidence with Ryan Tannehill. It's playing with that confidence. Same confidence Aaron Rodgers had the first few weeks of the season, and you didn't see him playing with that yesterday.
Just 45 seconds. What do you make of Garoppolo? Do you like him, or is he too controlled?
I like Garoppolo, but that's a good point, Colin, being too controlled. When I was a rookie, John Gruden, you feel like you're playing on eggshells. You can't make mistakes. I think Kyle Shanahan does a great job with that offense, setting him up with the jet sweeps, the misdirections, Debo Samuel, what a beast he is. But Garoppolo still needs to improve, make the plays that are there, and don't force the ball. Too many turnover-worthy plays when I get through grading Garoppolo.
Yeah, too many turnover-worthy plays. The judgment's always been a thing with Jimmy G. Bruce G. Bruce Gradkowski, good talking to you. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks, brother. You too.
It was interesting last night because Shanahan and Garoppolo are 4-0 now against the Rams. So they've got their number, and they are physical. And when they're running downhill and that zone reads run is really tough to stop. And so, you know, it's
you know they're both good coaches. You know they're pretty good quarterbacks. And then you watch the game, and the Rams just don't have it at all. And Garoppolo's totally controlled. But, you know, they're not asking him to do much. What they ask him to do, I just wonder if they're leaving way too much on the table, because I really think the Niners have spectacularly talented perimeter threats. RecTech, more than a grill, it's a lifestyle built by grillers for grillers. Check it out, Smart Grill technology, RECTEQ.com, RecTech.